Stop it. All right? This isn't funny anymore.
I never thought it was.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This. This is season 2, episode 2. A long journey, nice journey into enthusiasm. And now here are your hosts, Tara Arrieta and Sarah D. Butting.
I also forgot to say Melrose Place. Hi, Dave.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Oh, God.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Some site business. We mentioned this last week when we recorded last week, which, spoiler, not a spoiler, to give you a peek behind the curtain, last week as we recorded is also this week. We record these episodes two at a time.
What?
That's right, Billy from the past. We were, at that time, $2 away from hitting our Patreon goal of giving you one extra bonus episode every 2 weeks instead of every 4 weeks. Perhaps in your timeline, we have already met that. If not, and just to make sure, maybe go to patreon.com/againwiththis if you have any extra couple of bucks burning a hole in your pocket at this time. Throw them to us, and we can keep giving you extra bonus episodes, more than we are giving you now. And we are, in fact, going to drop one episode this week, regardless of whether we meet that goal or not. And our topic is, oh boy, we watched an episode of The New MacGyver, the one with Lucas Till, that is currently still on and in its improbable fourth season, that featured a guest starring performance by one Mr. Doug Savant. So if you haven't yet and you wish to experience this and see what we're talking about when that episode of this podcast drops on April 17th, it's season 3, episode 11, Mac plus Fallout plus Jack. It's on CBS All Access, and you can currently get a free 30-day trial of CBS All Access. So why not do that and join us on the Patreon this week? Shall we talk about A Long Night's Journey?
Yes.
All right. Let us start with our C plot. Amanda and Joe start fighting over Jake. Jake is in what appears to be a folded down Buzz Lightyear costume. It is, no kidding, mostly white with green and purple accents. You can see this in the visual aids and tell me I'm wrong, except you won't. You will tell me I am right. That's exactly what it looks like. It's like a motorcycle racing costume.
Yeah, or some kind of Tron cosplay. But yes, Buzz Lightyear folded down is exactly it.
That's what he's wearing as he and Joe come home mildly griping. When they run into Amanda, it comes out that Jake is getting into motorcycle racing, and Joe is worried about how it will fit into the budget at the shop, because I guess they're sponsoring him or something. And he shows off his Jake's Bikes patch on the back of his suit, like, not sure what that proves for either side of the argument, but okay. Amanda kisses up to him in a predictable way. Jake says there's a race the next day. Amanda invites herself to come watch, and Joe immediately says they'll all go together. And then Joe has to physically turn Jake's face away from watching Amanda leave and promise to take a shower with him to distract him from his horniness. And then it's the race. Joe is shooting it. Amanda's pretending to be interested, then realizes that she needs to cultivate Joe to get closer to Jake, I assume. So she tells Joe she needs a photographer for a campaign and tells Joe to bring the race photos by her office the next day. And then Jake wins the race. No one cares. Later, all three come back to the complex together. Jake is frustrated that he ended up coming in fifth overall. Well, Joe and Amanda both tell him he should be proud to have done that well his first time out. Amanda invites them both over to her place for pizza and beer. Jake immediately agrees, but Joe will have to rain check if Amanda wants the photos tomorrow. Oh, but clip two.
But Joe, if you're in the dark room and you're on your own, why don't you...
He has to help me.
Really? You never needed my help before.
I do tonight.
Okay. Sure.
All right, then. Good luck with the pictures, and thanks for bringing me along. I had a great time.
All right, Amanda. So, what am I going to help you with?
You're going to stay out of Amanda's apartment.
I mean, like, is he just fucking with her? I don't. This is so. I mean, I get it. He's hot, but like, also, it's Amanda.
Yeah. Also, he didn't just get hot like yesterday. He knows what is happening when women hit on him. So I don't know why he's. You're right. It is weird that he's behaving this way.
Yeah.
Anyway, their plot line crosses over with the B plot from here. So we will see them again in a bit. On to said B plot. Matt's application to work at the hospital entangles him in Michael's drama, where Sydney also is. So we open this plot line in the Mancini apartment, where Jane is making a big pile of Michael's shit. Clothes, CDs, books, framed photos of the two of them together, shitty art that he presumably gave her, and then melodramatically says, well, that's it. A whole marriage. Nothing but a pile of useless crap. Outside, Joe in her very unflattering top, like, seriously looks like a concealing a pregnancy top, you can see in the visual aids, are walking through the courtyard when she sees Michael approaching the door of his former apartment and waits to see what's going to happen. Michael orders her to mind her own business, and she says her friends are her business. But then Jane opens the door and says it's okay, she invited him. Michael is bemused by the pile on the living room floor, and Jane tells him she would like him to remove it since Sydney is going to be staying with her for a while. She ignores Michael's goopy reaction to the ugly art dumped on the pile and says she divided the wedding china, but of course he doesn't want it. And then he turns on the charm, and then a question mark? Clip 3.
You know, Jane, I admit, I've been bad and I've hurt you and all that. But how about we move on, I mean, I'll take my stuff and stay out of your life and you call off the killer attorney, okay?
No.
Jane, punishing me isn't going to solve anything. Now, can't we stop acting like a child?
A child, Michael?
Yes, a child, Jane.
I'm a child because I trusted you?
Hey, Jane, would you just...
A child because I cared? I'm a child because I'm still grown up.
Calm down, will you?
I just hate you for killing the best part of my life. I am only human, Michael. I don't know what the hell you are.
All right, all right. Okay, calm down now. All right, now, let's try and talk about
Get real, would ya? I'm going to take a shower. When I'm out, you're gone.
That was her throwing the wedding china at him, obviously. I kind of like the detail that he keeps saying, how are we? Can we stop acting like a child? Because it's very, like, condescending doctor talk. It's a funny detail.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we head straight from this fight to, again, the actual LAX, where Jane has just picked up Sydney in her formal 90s travel wear, which you can see in the visual aids, ranting about Michael for having walked out on Jane before Jane corrects her about what actually happened. Apparently, their mother sent Sydney to make Jane feel better. Sydney downshifts to demanding gory details, like whether Michael hit Jane. She says she's going through something painful and doesn't want to dredge up her pain for Sydney's entertainment. Their next stop is her attorney's office, which we don't see. And then Matt is moping on the stairs when Amanda comes down to razz him mildly about angling for a bigger apartment because she's not giving hers up. Matt says he misses having Rhonda to talk to, so Amanda says he can talk to her instead, and he reluctantly admits that he has a problem. And, well, everything old is new again. Clip 4.
I got laid off today. State funding got cut back, so they're going to close the halfway house next week, and I guess I got to check the want ads.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry, but you're right. Just go out there, hit the bricks, and you'll get something. I mean, obviously, you're bright and personable. You won't be out of a job for too long.
Thanks.
One thing, though. The first of the month is coming up, and you do have enough put away to cover the rent, don't you?
Don't worry, you'll get your rent. Thanks.
Too soon. <Yikes. laughs>
I mean, also, they do give her these, like, Buffy bot lines sometimes where she's trying to, like, be a human being instead of, like, a nonstop badass battle axe, which is, like, that's not necessary. But she's like, you're bright and personable. Like, that's such a Buffy bot line.
It is. the next day, where are we? Clip 5.
Dr. Star to OR2. Dr. Star to OR2.
Dr. Darren Star, I presume.
Matt is coming out of an office at the hospital and physically runs into Michael. Reluctantly, Matt admits he was dropping off his resume and tries to get away before admitting that he got laid off. The clerk told him he probably won't even get an interview because there are so many applicants, but Michael promises to get him in. Matt expresses surprise that Michael would do something decent for him, and Michael comments on Jane having gotten everyone at the complex to take her side over his. Why does he care? He was never really anyone's friend from what we saw, and also does not live there anymore. But whatever, Matt diplomatically says there hasn't been a poll of everyone's opinion of him, but that Matt personally thinks there are two sides to every story. Michael never knew Matt was so reasonable, and Matt frankly says Michael never got him a job interview before.
That was great.
But also that he does mean it. Sure you do. On the beach, Sydney in her extremely 90s sheer black with yellowy flowers dress tell Jane how much she just really wants to help Jane get through this. Jane starts musing about her wedding day and all her mixed feelings about it and how much she tried to make things work through this current crisis. And she badly cries as she asks why Michael didn't want her, and Sydney hugs her. Back at the hospital, Kimberly pulls Michael into a supply closet. He thinks she's trying to fuck, but she actually wants to tell him she just got subpoenaed by Jane's lawyer. Michael tells her not to take it so seriously and starts trying to kiss her, but she is worried about getting outed as the other woman. And Michael vaguely purrs that he'll take care of it, but Kimberly is not convinced in clip 6.
How, Michael? This whole thing has gotten way out of hand and ugly. I don't know if I can take it anymore.
What whole thing? Our relationship?
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm asking you. Are you talking about us?
I don't know. Partly, yeah. I mean, this isn't exactly what I wished for when I was a little girl. Sneaking around, lawsuits, adultery. I mean, is that what you wanted?
No. I was looking for an intelligent woman, but I guess I didn't look out.
And I was looking for a knight on a white horse, not a moody intern with a crazy wife on his back.
Fine. I'll move out.
Great.
Okay.
So, when we see them next, Michael has, indeed, just finished packing his suitcase while Kimberly says he's being ridiculous. He claims he's all set to go to a hotel and tells her he'll be fine, but she says he won't, he'll be lonely, and starts kissing on him, as she says that fighting all the time is their destiny. Sounds fun and healthy. He stops the kissing to try to talk, but she hates a sensitive man. Okay, cool. Well, great. You've found the right guy then. And later that night, they're in bed as Michael complains about Jane's attempt to take his future wages. Kimberly never understood wives who try to soak their husbands and thinks everyone should try to make it on their own. Michael says they just have to make sure the depositions to Jane's lawyers don't hurt them. And Kimberly raises her eyebrows and sits up, saying there's no way to avoid that. It may be true love to them, but to everyone else, it's adultery. And Michael's like, not if it didn't happen, because there's no evidence. It's just their word against Jane's. Two respectable doctors against one crazed, jealous wife. And Kimberly looks like nothing has ever made her hornier than the thought of perjuring herself. But what she says is that she will need to be persuaded. And he pretends he doesn't have it in him to fuck her again, so she says she'll do all the work. I swear to God, this guy...
They really didn't waste any time with this, did they?
They did not. Michael later is in the beach house kitchen eating a sandwich off a paper towel, hatefully being relatable when Sydney calls, apparently in secret because she lowers her voice as we see Jane come out of the bedroom in the background. Sydney can't believe Jane is doing this to Michael and wants to know if there's anything she can do, and to his question admits that Jane doesn't know she's calling. He tells her to meet him in the at the hospital tomorrow and he'll take her for lunch. And I thought Jane was in the same lace embellished tank top that Amanda was in earlier. And so I went back and I did a side by side. And in fact, they are both in the either the same or identical lace embellished tank tops. You can see this in the visual aids. You're welcome. When Jane comes out, Sydney lies that she was on the phone to a friend in Chicago. Jane asks her not to run up her long distance bill. Remember that? Remember long distance bills? And thanks, Sydney, for being there for her. Oh, Jane. And the next morning, Jake is sitting on his dumb bike when Matt comes out in a suit. Michael did get him that job interview for a position that pays way better than the halfway house did, so Matt has to dress up. Jake warmly bucks him up, saying that Matt will get it. And Amanda comes out just then, and Matt's trying to head to his car without talking to her when she stops and to apologize for being insensitive by asking about the rent the other day. If he needs grace time on the rent, he can have it. He thanks her, which, get it in writing, maybe, just saying.
Yeah, really.
And Jake comments on how nice that was, but Amanda waves him off and gets into her red Porsche convertible to go to work. And of course, Jake the gearhead wants to know all about it, so she invites him to drive her to work. And he clearly wants to, but says he would have to then get himself to the shop from there, so she suggests he just pick her up from work that night and drive the car all day. Oh, dear. Speaking of oh dear, out at lunch, Michael is rationalizing cheating on Jane, long hours at the hospital, etc., and Sydney is eating it up, so he decides he might as well really work her in clip 7.
Can I ask you a big favor?
Is there anything?
This is kind of delicate. Could you talk to Jane for me? I mean, don't mention this comes from me exactly, but... If you could get her to lower the stakes of the divorce, and just a little, maybe it wouldn't be so hard on both of us.
She's really giving it to you, huh?
Hey, I'm sure she told you. You know, she's going after future earnings and some damages. I don't know. It's a mess. But you know how Jane gets sometimes. And she's got this sleazy lawyer that's, making her all crazy. So could you just talk to her?
Well, yeah. She doesn't talk to me about the legal stuff, but maybe I could find a way to bring it up.
Thanks a lot, Sydney. Really. You know, I'm thinking of everyone here. I mean, no matter what, I'll always love Jane. Hell, I love the whole family. But, I never meant to cause anybody any pain.
I know you didn't, Michael. I know.
Oh, Skipper. God.
Oh, Sydney.
This is not going anywhere good. Production note before we proceed to our A-plot, it has just started storming here in Austin as we're recording, so if you hear anything that sounds like rain, it is, in fact, rain. Apologies for the weather.
What?
And now, as promised, the A-plot. Keith finally pushes his luck too far. So when we open their plot line, Allison and Billy are like goofing around under the covers. So everything is fine after the way they left it after the last episode. When we left them, Allison was like looking all stricken and walking Keith to his car while Billy was glaring at them. But somehow everything is just fine and they're fucking again. Okay, whatever. I don't know. Fine, whatever. They establish that Keith is still around. Billy is jealous whenever Allison mentions him, but Billy also says he loves Allison, to which she neggingly responds by saying vice versa. Deflated, Billy rolls over. She doesn't know what he's upset about, and he asks why she's still going out with Keith that night. She tells him not to start. Billy exposits that Keith is leaving the next day. Allison doesn't have to give him a send-off, and she further exposits all the evidence against Keith being the stalker. Billy confuses us all by being right some more as he accuses Keith of having set up Ponytail Man to call while Keith was there. And Allison doesn't believe it and just thinks Billy's jealous. And that night, as she's getting ready to go out for dinner with Keith, Billy is once again trying to tell Allison how stalking works. And she is once again refusing to hear it. He insists that he wouldn't still be researching this crime if he wasn't genuinely worried about her. And she cranks up the whine in clip 8.
Look. Keith has never done anything but be nice to me. Besides, nothing has happened in a while, so it looks like whoever was causing the trouble has gotten bored and gone away.
These guys don't get bored. They're obsessed.
You are obsessed! And I want you to stop it.
Oh, Allison.
I want you to stop it.
So whiny. The worst. She leaves, and he calls after her to be careful. Apparently, it was not just dinner, because the very next scene is Keith and Allison at the good old Santa Monica Pier, Keith trying to recapture their old magic, and Allison looking stiff and anxious in that fucking ugly beige flower jacket that I fucking hate. I hate it! He is claiming he can't wait to get back to Seattle, but that he's also worried about leaving her in the city when all these awful things have happened to her. She tells him not to worry. He jokes that he probably can't get her to dump Billy and move up with him again, and she laughs that he can't. And then he wants to hold hands for old time's sake, and she does. And then he wants to go to the beach and watch the waves, and she agrees to that as well, which is when we see that Billy is also there, following at a discreet distance. He seems to have gotten a haircut since the last episode. Hair continuity is very weird.
Yep, fine with it.
Yeah, sure, I'm not complaining. Down on the beach, Keith decides to come clean, sort of, in clip 9.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Everything. I lied to you, Allison.
About what?
I told you everything was fine at my job, but it isn't. I'm on probation. After you left me, I couldn't concentrate at work. I got demoted. This trip to LA was my last chance to shape up or lose my job.
Oh, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry.
You meant everything to me. Don't you understand that?
I know.
I'm gonna miss you, Allison. I'm really gonna miss you.
Hey! Hey, Allison! What's going on? You all right? What's going on?
Yes, I'm all right, Billy. What are you doing here? Can't we at least say goodbye?
I'm sorry.
He's only trying to protect you, Allison. After all, you think I'm some kind of nut, don't you, Billy? Come on. Better get you home.
Some kind of nut. You never get me, copper. You never get me, see? Also, why... I mean, okay, if she doesn't think he's the stalker, that's fine. But this is someone you had a romantic relationship with and no longer do. So you don't hold hands with him. You don't follow him under the pier.
Yeah.
And didn't he run that nonprofit?
Well, not the one in Seattle, but yes.
Oh, all right. But, well, like once he's telling you, like, my entire life fell apart because you dumped me because you're a weird Eeyore.
Yeah.
Like, no. Why are you under a pier with this person?
I mean,
I know I'm not supposed to victim blame, but Jesus.
It really is the under the pier thing that's the hardest to believe. Like, even if you're not being stalked, like, who does that? Don't go under a pier with anyone in broad daylight, never mind at night.
The Dan would be like, let's go under that pier. Like, no. Let's not. Let's be on the pier.
Mm-hmm. So, the next morning, Billy stops Allison on her way out for a run to apologize for the night before. She knows Billy was just worried, but hopes now he's convinced that Keith is trustworthy. Why? She's taking Keith to the airport that night to get his flight. And then, it's that night, Billy's in the pool and Allison's bringing him a towel on her way out to take Keith for said flight. Billy tells her to make sure that Keith gets on the plane because Billy will be waiting for her in her bed. So Allison gets to Keith's hotel room where he is not only not ready to go to the airport, but has a room service dinner with a rose and a vase all set up waiting for her. Obviously, she asks about the flight, which is the reason she's there, and he says he took care of it. And Allison is trying to stay nice, like you think you're supposed to, and says she doesn't like surprises, and she suggests they just get his stuff and head out. But he comes up behind her and puts his hands on her back as he says he thinks they need to talk. Clip 10.
I think we need to understand each other better.
No, you need to understand. I am not here to eat dinner. Now, if you're ready to leave, fine. But if you're not, I'll come back when you are. Keith, stop it.
Calm down. I just want you to listen, that's all.
Then let go.
Please, listen to me. It's really very simple, Allison. And I love you. I never stopped loving you, and I know that you love me, too. We belong together.
Keith, I know you don't mean to. You're hurting me. Please let go. Go. Oh. I loved you once. But that's over. I'm with Billy now. And you know that. I mean it when I say I want to be friends. Real friends. I want to be close to you, just not that way.
What a bunch of crap, Allison. What do you think this is, seventh grade?
Maybe it sounds stupid, but I really mean it. Romance lasts so much longer than friendship. We can be close for a really long time.
Don't patronize me, bitch.
Oh, Keith, come on.
I'm in control now. You got it! Not you. not your little boyfriend. Just you and me, just the way it was. Now come here. Because we're going to make love.
So, it's gross. What's interesting and well done about this escalation here, though, is that it starts with her knowing this is fucked up, but still trying to be nice. Like, trying to get out of it, you know, playing along, just, you know, extricating herself without hurting anyone's feelings. Like, you can't even say, don't be nice, because not being nice might get you someplace even worse. Like,
yeah.
Why are men?
Yeah. And this scene is, like, legitimately, like, you know, you've seen TV before, so you know she doesn't get killed, but I didn't remember how this played out. Mm-hmm. So it was really like, and again, old Mosey really, really bringing the creepy.
Yeah. So she tries to get Keith to see reason. He gets her onto the bed and tells her to, like, relax and enjoy it like you used to, and makes her say she loves him. And he tells her to undo her blouse, which is a sweater. So weird. And she has a pink version of that one Victoria's Secret bra on underneath. So shout out that bra, the 90s. And as he is fumbling with his belt, the one time a man is wearing a belt on this show, she sees her opportunity, kicks him in the slats, hauls ass out of there, for some reason going for the elevator instead of the stairs. But it works, and she gets away before he can follow her. So good job. So Allison gets home, and Billy starts barraging her with questions about how she got back so soon and what happened. Well, she heads straight for the vodka and then into her room, and he follows, ignoring her quest to be alone and saying she can tell him anything. So she starts to cry and says that he was right about Keith all along, and specifically tells him what just happened. And Billy idiotically wants to know where Keith is now, which of course she doesn't know. She hates herself for going over there, but transitions with admirable speed to screaming that she wishes she could kill Keith, which, you know what? Good. Strong instincts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the spirit.
Yep. So Billy brings Allison to the police station, where we rejoin them just as she's finishing telling the story of Keith's attempted rape to, hey, is that lady detective, Randy Heller. Look her up. She was on Soap. That's where I remember her from the most. And her follow-up questions are whether Keith tore any of her clothes, used a weapon, or tried to hit her, which no, on all counts. And the detective then pointedly asks whether Allison knew Keith previously. Allison says that she dated him, but that she isn't dating him now. And Billy breaks in to ask whether the detective thinks Allison's making this up. And instead of telling him to get out, she says she's just trying to find out what happened. Cut to the airport, where Keith has shown up for his flight at, like, the ticket desk outside of TSA and is told they're going to start boarding in 5 minutes. The past. So,
oh, my God. I know. They hit him with, like, thick paper envelope with his ticket in it, which I'm sure he could have just bought in cash by walking up to the counter, because 90s.
Yep. Then another, hey, is that guy cop, appears out of nowhere to tell Keith he is under arrest. And after a commercial, Keith is telling his version of the story to Detective Randy Heller in clip 11.
Honestly, we were going out for a while, but I'm no good at long distance relationships, so I decided to break it off. I was getting on a plane home tonight, and she called me up. And she said she wanted to come over to say goodbye. And when she got there, it turned into an argument. She said she wanted to work things out. But I've been through the mill with this woman, and I didn't want to go through it again.
The hotel said that you had dinner for two in your room. Who is that for?
For her and me. Hey, I'm not a bastard. I wanted to let her down easy. But she didn't want to let go, period. Did she tell you we lived in Seattle together for a while? She was way too possessive, so I told her she had to move out. This whole thing is sad.
You're very friendly, Mr. Gray.
Well, I try to be.
Generally, when someone is being accused for something they didn't do, they get all mad. They're not friendly at all. You better get yourself a lawyer, Mr. Gray, because you tried to rape her, didn't you?
No, I didn't. And I don't need an attorney, because I have nothing to hide.
So, I mean, this story is plausible, but then the detective leaves and he gives himself a look like, I got away with it. Like, have you ever seen TV that could be two-way glass, you idiot? But, you know,
yeah,
soap.
Really.
And again, give him credit. So, I mean, William R. Moses, not Keith. Obviously, you do not, under any circumstances, gotta hand it to Keith.
Yeah, and he's really, like, even though, like, you know, it's 2020, and again, we know roughly how this turns out, mm-hmm. it's, like, infuriating to listen to him trying to gaslight Allison.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's Allison, sorry, yeah. girl, but you're annoying. That it's like, oh, men, why are you?
Yes.
So good job being shitty.
Indeed. Yeah, sadly. Outside, Billy's congratulating Allison for sticking to her story, and she's apologizing to him for not believing his warnings. All that matters is that the creep is going away, he says, and that the two of them can start again. But, of course, that's when the detective comes out to tell them the DA doesn't think they have enough evidence to charge Keith, though the detective personally believes Allison. And Allison is silent while Billy yells at the cop, who ignores him and tells Allison that Keith is going back to Seattle that night. And if he ever bothers her again, Allison just has to call her and they'll arrest him. This is also when we see Billy's at the cop shop in shorts. Like, you know what? Just it takes 3 seconds. Put on some jeans before you take her. My God. So undignified. Anyway.
they're huge shorts, though. They're like, I remember, I think we referred to this in the... on the podcast when we meet Jay, Andrea's college Republican boyfriend, mm-hmm. played by Peter Krause, mm-hmm. and he's wearing pleated shorts so voluminous that it looks like there was a hoop involved. it's from the same line of early to mid 90s men's casual wear.
Yes,
so floofy
chino Docker shorts. Not good. Yeah. So they're walking out at the same time as Keith, which I pray only happens on TV. And Keith takes his one last shot to be a creep while Allison cowers behind Billy in clip 12.
I'm finally off to Seattle, Allison. I'm sorry you felt you had to go through with this charade, but there's no hard feelings, okay? See you, sport.
Sport.
I mean, he is, but still. Back home, Allison pours herself a large glass of vodka and tries to tune out Billy's ranting about what they have to do to take her power back from Keith. He wants to call the cops in Seattle and see if Keith has done anything there, but Allison's going to bed. Billy remembers that she's a person who was a crime victim that night and hugs her, saying he's sorry and hates to see her be hurt. He warns her not to drink too much because it'll only make her feel worse, but she says it won't and takes off, telling him on her way out of the room that she wants to sleep alone that night. And then it's the next day and we're back at the airport. Billy is on a pay telephone telling a tragically off-screen Cameron that we don't even hear to tell Nancy he's taking a couple of personal days.
Aww.
Not how work works, Billy, by the way. But anyway, of course, Billy is going to Seattle. And the score, clip 13. The score is concerned. That's the end of the episode. Let us close it up by naming our episode MVP. Sarah D. Bunting.
I mean, I gotta go William Moses again.
Mm-hmm. That's a good pick. I'm gonna flip it and I'm gonna say Billy. He's supportive. He gets a little too aggro at the end, but he doesn't do any of the bullshit of, you know, he doesn't victim blame Allison. Granted, he was on board with Keith having been a creep before she was, but still, he's a good support to her.
That's a good point. He doesn't I told you so her, which yep. I totally would have, so he's better than me, for sure.
All right, least valuable player. I'm going to say Sydney. Do not sell out your sister. That is low.
Yeah, I'm going to say Kimberly. Mm. Girl, get a vibrator. The man needs to pay rent. That's it.
Yep.
Next time on Again With This, Michael tries to keep his love nest on the DL, Jake models for D&D, and Billy becomes the TDA. That stands for the Derp Avenger. You'll have to avenge your retinas. After you check out our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This, they're on our website, againwiththispodcast.com, which is also where you can pre-order our 90210 book. Not a bit. actually a thing, should be coming out later this year. You can follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, or you can page Dr. Star to our Patreon page at patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm job interview extortionist Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is airport security minimalist Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is unexpected kick in the slats, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.